Hey guys, it's Erin Andrews from Calm Down with Erin and Carissa. So they say you can't plan for the unexpected, but whoever said that obviously didn't know about Aflac. You probably know the Aflac Duck, but you might not know what Aflac can do for you. For example, did you know they pay cash that can help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover? If you get sick or injured, Aflac pays cash that can be put towards copays and deductibles to even non-medical expenses like rent or your mortgage payments. It's completely up to you. Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover. Visit Aflac.com to learn more.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Welcome to part two of our breakdown of the police interrogation of Richard Allen, the man that's been convicted of the Delphi murders. This is the interview that was done with police shortly before the arrest took place, several years after the crime took place. This is after they discovered, oh, we maybe will talk to this guy a little bit more. There's not a lot of evidence here, but sure, we haven't found anybody yet. We've ignored a lot of evidence and a lot of people so far. Why? Well, we have a lot of videos about that. This today is breaking down that interview. This is part two. There's part one on our channels, whether it's a podcast or whether you're watching us on YouTube. So if you want to see that first part and discuss those chunks, be sure to see that. This is part two. Please leave your comments in the comment section so we can discuss all of it and get your thoughts. And if you're listening to us, the podcast, wherever you're getting podcasts, we have the YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, where you can discuss all these cases and even watch the video of this. The video itself came to us online from Crime Circus. I'm going to guess it was a Freedom of Information Act request to get this. That's just my guess. And we're going to watch it. This is something we have not seen before in this case. And thus far in part one, my conjecture doesn't seem like a guy that committed the crime. He seems extremely calm, extremely normal, extremely surprised that they're even using some of the language that they are with him. They read Miranda rights early on in this and said, we're not arresting you, but confusion. Like, what do you guys think I did? That's kind of the attitude I would take or the feeling I would get while watching Richard Allen endure this questioning. Let's continue on from where we left off and keep listening.
Did you ever park there before when you went?
Yeah.
A lot of times you did.
Okay. I mean, we used to when it wasn't marked. Mm-hmm. We did a cleanup down there one time I brought a bunch of Walmart people, kind of a community engagement thing. We did a cleanup down there. It's the year that they tore down. We tore down that, if you go down, not the High Bridge way, but that one where I sit on the bench.
Yes,
I was talking about. If you go down that hill, there used to be a little shed, a little shack down there, and they tore that. And we were there that day that we tore that down.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you guys did that with Walmart. Was that the local Walmart you worked at?
Lafayette.
Lafayette. Yeah. Okay. The one on the Commerce or the one up on
Commerce.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So you guys came up and did that. Do you know when that was?
Oh, Lord. No. Well,
it was before or after this?
2006. Oh, it would have been way before. I wasn't even with. It was what, 17?
Yep. When the girls were out there.
13. So I wasn't even with Walmart at the time. I would have already been with CVS.
Yeah. Okay. So sometime in the...
Yeah, it would have been way before. Okay. I mean, I went to CVS in, I say, 13. So it would have had to been before 13.
Okay. So you're out there then working on the trails.
I'm going to say a lot earlier than that because I worked in Chicago, south of Chicago, for a couple of my last years with Walmart when I was actually running that store. So probably around 9, 10, maybe.
Okay. All right. Somewhere around there. So you were working out there in trails. Had you been familiar with the trails before then? Was there a time that you had been out trails before then?
We had walked, after we moved to Delphi, I mean, we started experimenting. I mean, there were trails that we didn't know were there, but, you know, you'd hear about one and you'd go, and I'm sure by that, well, obviously I know by that point I knew about them because that's how I got associated with the Dan something or other that runs the area. I think it was Dan. Run like the Erie Canal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And McCain.
McCain.
Okay. I don't remember how I became acquainted with him, but I asked him because at Walmart, you know, as a leader, they always want you to be involved in the community. And I mean, it's a good thing,
sure.
But you can also give money to, like, so because we brought so many people out for that event for a day, we had so many hours and we were able to donate money because of that from Walmart to the Erie Canal Foundation or whatever. So we worked, I guess the question is, yeah, I know on the trails before that day.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked. We also worked out at the Carrollton Bridge that day. There's a towpath or something. We picked up some stuff along there too.
Oh, okay. Yep, makes sense. All right. Well, that's good.
So, yeah, I sat there for a few minutes and left. And like I said, there were a couple vehicles. I may have told him the exact makes. I'm not sure. I just remember one was a. One was like a sedan, and I think maybe one was an SUV. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I have to look back at what I said that when I interviewed with him.
Do you remember, this was 6 years ago.
You call Farmer's Entrance. Those cars were at the Farmer's Entrance.
Yes, sir. What about where you parked? Were there
no vehicles?
I know there were no vehicles where I parked because I don't remember telling. I mean, if he asked, I didn't see anything there. That
okay.
Okay. A lot of people would park at that Farmer's Entrance because I'm thinking that was probably when they didn't really want you parking there, and that's probably why I didn't park there. But it's much closer to the trails, so a lot of people like to park there. It's, you walk in, and you're actually like halfway through the trail, so you can walk one way and the other and leave. And but I know at one point, like I said, they didn't want you parking there, so we didn't.
Mm-hmm. So back then, if you told... his report said Farm Bureau, Old Farm Bureau building. Right. So that be.
I never really knew what that building was. I just remember telling him there was a building there. And if that's where I told him I parked, then that's probably where I parked. Because, yeah. Like I said, it was an either park. Obviously, the Farmer's Entrance was always the most convenient, but there was a bridge, small bridge before the Blue Bridge. I probably didn't know if I got this right. This was the Anderson's?
Yes.
So there was a little tiny, it used to be like a one-way bridge. It wasn't even a road anymore. Like, you could either go towards the Blue Bridge
or you drive under it to...
Yeah, I think you ride...
Now I follow.
It wasn't... That parking lot wasn't there on the other side, so you didn't... But, yeah, you would... you went, like I said, you take this road that forks off coming out of Delphi somewhere,
yeah.
And then you take a right, and there's a, it's just a little road, and there's some people that live along it, but then it, at the end of the road, it goes up to this, like I said, there's like a parking area where people used to park.
I think I know where you're talking about.
I think you can't see it up here, but what you're describing
probably
is a road that leads up to this parking area that you're talking, it's out of the sight of that Like, sure, probably, yeah. Okay. So, how far out of the bridge did you go that day when you were out there? Do you remember?
How far what?
How far out onto the high bridge?
I have no idea how many feet it is. The way I always know is there's one of those platform things that stick off the side, and I usually, years past, like 9, 10, let's see, 6, 7, between 6 and 10 probably. I've actually been across the high bridge back when it was in a little bit better shape, but somewhere in there, 8, 9, 10, somewhere it started getting pretty rugged and stopped going across it, but for the most part, I didn't go past that one, whatever the thing is that sticks out. I'd go out there and kind of look. Like I said, I'd look and see if I see any fish or anything, and then I went back the other way.
Yeah, I think those were back in the day if a train was coming and you were out there,
you could possibly
get out of the train's way.
Exactly.
Well, I would still want to be on it when the train came.
Exactly, yes. Yep. So yeah, that day I don't remember what year it was, but it was well before 16, 17. I don't know, just decay.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. So if you were parked there, and correct me if I say anything.
The bridge.
Over here, that building. I'm sorry. So if you're parked there, how did you get on the trail? Where did you walk?
At one point, you either walked down the road, but then at one point they had a trail there. Not a trail, I wouldn't even call it a trail. They had a gravel path that led to the new thing that they were doing. I call it the trailhead. When they started doing all that, there was a trail that would, I think it ran along the road, if I remember right. And then it just cut over to where the trailhead was at. You couldn't really park. I just remember where that path was at. You'd think you could park there, but it's no parking. So you had to walk. You either parked over here and just, it was actually closer if you went over here and you could just walk the bridge that way. And then if you went this way, it was a little bit further because you walked along the road to.
So you were going to walk along the road, or was there a path to this?
At one point, I think you walked along the road. Honestly, I don't even remember. Where's the trails here? That's why I said we. At some point, it was probably after they put that little pathway in that we even parked there.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we ever even used that until they put that path there, and it was just because it was the only way to get to trailhead from that side. And like I said, at one point, they didn't want you parking down here at this farmer thing. So they had put in a gravel path in, and you would park there. So you either parked over there or you parked there and walked down the gravel path. And the path cut over to like where the trailhead thing is. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that we ever parked at that little building, whatever it was, until they laid that gravel path to it. I think we thought that was a new, I guess, designated parking area. And that's when we parked there once in a while. We'd still park over here once in a while. It just depended on which. And like I said, there was times when we parked there on and off whenever they didn't have it posted. They didn't want you parking there. And we probably did a time or two when they did have it posted, but we didn't make a habit of it.
So what, that car that was in your garage, would that have been what you drove out there that day?
Oh, my God. Let me think here. It would have either been that one or our Great Ford 500. We kind of switch vehicles back and forth. It's kind of because I've oftentimes worked further away from home. And when I was working in Peru, the car's, it's a 16. So prior to that, I'd had a little red Ford Focus, and our trucks were, we get our truck at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So on truck day, I'd be driving over to Peru at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And one day I was driving and I was tired. I mean, there's oftentimes you'd be tired, but this day I was just so tired, like to the point I almost and should have just pulled over. But I made it over there and I turned off, didn't take the highway all the way up. I took the turn off that takes you into the back way to Peru and made it all the way in town. And literally I fell asleep. And I woke up when my airbag went off, I veered off the road and hit a SUV parked on the side of the road. And literally, that's when I woke up. Like, I didn't even know. It took me several seconds, if not a minute, to get my bearings and even figure out what had happened. I still didn't know, because when it hit the SUV, it threw it clear up over the sidewalk into somebody's front porch. Like, I literally didn't break at all. I was asleep, so I hit it full speed. So anyway, I get out, and there's not even anything there. I'm like, what did I hit? And there was a person stopped on the other side of the road. Anyway, long story short, they called the police, blah, 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 and I had to get, that's when I bought that black car.
The black car being the 16?
The one in the garage.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And so I got that car because I had to drive back and forth most of the time. It's good gas mileage. So my point is, I was driving the black car, and then when I transferred and came back to Delphi, I didn't need the gas mileage anymore, and it was a nicer car, so I gave it to my wife. And from that time until earlier this year, I drove the gray car and she drove the black car. Now, if I was going somewhere out of town, you know, a lot of times I would use the black car, depending on how far we're going. The gray car was dependable, but it's just one of those where more recently, I started driving, you know, if I was going to go to Lafayette or something for an apartment or whatever, I'd take the black car just because it's more dependable. And
yeah, she works it.
But anyway, and then when, so from during that time period, I drove the gray Ford 500, and she would drive the black car, had her little cat license plate and all that on it. And then I got her a van. The gray car pretty much had it. I had that in a truck as well. I had a truck for, I don't know, 3-4 years. If I bought it used, and we didn't drive it hardly ever. And it was one of those where I get rid of them while they're still worth something. So we traded them both in. I got the van that she drives now. And then I went back to driving black car. So
now, remember, you said you were going to Miami. I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, Mexico.
Mexico. Would you have planned to drive a black car because that was a trip out of town?
I wouldn't have planned. No. During that time, it was still, the gray car was still, it's like the junk car. We bought it brand new. It's a 2006. But I just say in the last, 3-4 years, it's not, the car didn't run well. It's just one of those where it's old enough that, you don't want to get over somewhere. Because usually if I am driving, it's because she's at work and I don't want to end up having to get stranded somewhere. But that was more recently. So that's why I don't know which, it was either the gray or the black one that day.
Either one.
It could have been the black one, could have been a gray one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was an 06, 4-500.
So then you get on the trails and you say you saw three girls. Where was it? You saw the three girls?
They were up around the trail. I mean, I didn't like interact with them. It was up around the trailhead somewhere.
So you walked
through that. Like when I say they were leaving, yeah.
Okay.
I'm assuming they were leaving, or they came from down where those cars parked and they were going to go back that way. I don't know.
And then did you see anybody else when you were out there?
Nobody just come out, I guess. Okay. I mean, if I did see somebody, it didn't click with me. And of course, my memory was a lot better when I talked to him that day. I don't remember seeing, like I told him, there may have been somebody on the bridge or something when I was coming back through, but I didn't. The only ones that I really noticed seeing were the three girls.
Okay.
As I was walking towards them, and I mean, they obviously stood out. And like I said, I remember it being, it looked like an older girl with two younger girls.
Okay.
Walking the trail.
Okay.
And I guess I assumed that she was probably watching them or in charge of them or whatever.
If you thought you saw somebody when you were coming back through from the bridge, they were on the bridge?
I don't really remember seeing anybody that day, but I don't know. So if I did see somebody else, they didn't jump out to me or anything else. It could have been people down around the cars, but I don't remember. I just remember seeing a couple cars parked over there.
Mm-hmm.
Like a sedan and SUV or something like that.
Okay. And then when you got back to your car, were there any other cars when you got back to your car?
I don't think so. Well, no, because I would have thought through that now.
Okay.
We're just in line.
Did you know where you went afterwards when you left there?
I went home that day. I always watched the stock market and trade the stocks.
There was something else that they remember the officer recorded, something about the stock market. Tell us about that.
So he's got an individual trading account with Datech originally, and I think it was TD Ameritrade. I trade stocks, try to get rich, lose money.
Did that work for you?
On and off it did, actually, but no, it worked really terribly there for a while, and I don't even do it anymore. So that's just too much of a risk.
So did you have a phone or a watch or something you were looking at the stock market on? Or?
I think so. I had a program on my phone to watch stocks. I don't remember exactly when and how long I had it, but yeah, I had a program that I could, depend on the reception you had, of course. If you didn't have any reception, it wouldn't work. And
was it fairly good out there that day?
And that's honestly, I think that's why I went home as quick as I did, because I wanted to get home and watch it on my computer with my sock tickers and all that stuff. Because I remember doing that. That was like a hobby, I guess, for me, was watching the stock market and looking at charts and trying to predict what something's going to do and make money. So.
Yeah, that's way out of my league.
Well, it was mine too. I just didn't realize it was time.
But. Ben, what Shocking. Were you wearing that day? You said you put on a jacket
and blue jeans, and I'm sure I put on a jacket because I think it was still fairly cool that day. I don't think it was super warm. I would have put on a jacket. I don't know.
Remember what kind of jacket you had back then?
I've had Carhartt jackets over the years.
Color is your jacket?
The one was blue, the one was black. Probably back then it would have been a black one. Had a hood built into it. So it was just a black zip up. Anyway, I don't even think it was a Carhartt. I think it was an off-brand, but it was like a Carhartt. I could have worn that. I've had sweatshirts like what you're on today. I hoodies, jackets. I mean, I've got a little bit of everything. Fleece.
Anything else? Maybe headgear or anything like that? Wasn't that cold either.
Always kept a hat in my coat, so it would have been like a, I don't know what you call them, skull cap, or just a, not a big fluffy hat, but a small hat.
Have to interrupt the interview for his phone call because that's super professional.
So cap on your head. And anything else you've been wearing besides like what kind of shoes? I mean, not pretty strange to ask a question like that. But what was, probably tell you what kind of tennis shoes I had because I usually make them last a very long time.
Well, and I've got shoes that I've had for 10, 12 years probably. It would have been older tennis shoes or I had military boots that I used to wear, but they just don't fit. I've been out of the military forever, so I had some combat boots in my closet that I used to wear occasionally. I don't know if I was still wearing them or not.
Here's a fun one. What did you wear hiking 6 years ago on this very specific date? When hiking 6 years ago and somebody asked you that question, are you going to be able to answer it super accurately or are you going to go off of like, well, what do I own? What would I typically wear? That's how that typically works. And I'd say probably 90% or more of the men in that part of the country who are out there hiking or, outdoorsy type people, you own a Carhartt. It's kind of how it works.
I mean, I haven't worn them in years, but could have a pair of work boots. I don't know. So probably older tennis shoes, but if it was wet out, sometimes I wear a boot, like a work boot or... But like I said, the combat boots because they held water out pretty well.
Okay, great.
So basically, he could have worn almost anything.
Was wearing, I don't remember.
Do you know what kind of phone you had back then? You just don't have a phone, do you?
If I did, it's in the closet somewhere. I'm sure I recycled it by now.
Oh, really?
Because I've had this for
my other one guy. Right over, I just went to a bit. I don't know, it's been a few years now. Several years, not. I know that I've, since that time, I know I've gotten this phone. I don't remember when. It's not been a super long time, but it wasn't. I've had it long enough that I don't remember when I got it. Do you have that picture of that car? No. I don't think I do.
Going through pictures right now, or he's looking for a specific one, apparently, that he's about to show Richard Allen, I think. I'm wondering
picture
if this is...
of the car on the...
I think he's looking for the bridge guy video still.
So, a couple things I wanted to ask you after I checked my phone, it's just like ringing like crazy. What we would like to do is to be able to confirm some of the information that you've given us so far, to be able to examine your phone. As you're well aware, phones go everywhere with everybody, and they tell a story about a lot of what people do. And sometimes the information on our phone can confirm or, you know, maybe not necessarily confirm sure. information about what somebody is saying. Okay. We have the ability to be able to extract the data from a phone and be able to look at it and be able to tell where somebody was at.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. Would that be something you'd be allow, you would allow us to take care of, do today, and get it done?
How are you going to have my phone?
Well, we ideally would like to have the phone that you have. When you got that phone, did you take the data from the old phone and move to the new phone?
I have no idea. I mean, I know. I always try to save contacts.
Right. So if you had the phone, like, where'd you get the phone at? What service is it?
I go through Ting. It's an online service, and it's a lot of people don't know about it. It's really inexpensive, and I've had it for years now.
What's it called?
Huh?
What was it called?
Ting?
Ting, like T-I-N-G?
T-I-N-G.
Never heard of it.
It's online.
So you didn't really go to a store somewhere?
I used to, okay. But I for years now I've been with Ting.
Uh-huh.
You pay full price for your phone, and they have discounted ones, and so usually you'll pay a couple $100 for a phone,
mm-hmm.
or you can pay $600-$700, whichever. But as far as the service,
right.
I mean, I only pay around $40 a month for two phones, and that's pretty much everything.
Your service provider, is that Ting themselves, or is it another?
I think right now it's probably Verizon. It's one of those deals they use. Of course, all of them do that anymore. They use each other's towers.
Corporate towers. Yeah.
But I think it's like my phone. Some of it depends on what type of phone you have, too. Mine is based off of, pretty sure it's off of Verizon right now.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Do you remember what you had back then? 2017.
I know I didn't have this one yet. I don't even know if they were making those shot.
I mean, as far as service provider.
I've had Ting. God, I've had Ting for several years now.
So they may
I probably would have had Ting.
They may have changed service providers on you. Ting may have used a different service provider.
I don't like, since I've had this phone, I've never had them come out and say, hey, we're changing your provider. It's just I guess kind of the home system that it works off of. Like I said, it's Verizon. I'm trying to think if it's ever been, you know, you hear about AT&T anymore, but it could have been that at one point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I never had it before. We lived in Delphi, though, so I know. I'm pretty sure because I always got my phone. I work at Walmart, so I get my service plans through them because I got discounts through them. So I know it's been since I left Walmart, so.
Okay.
I mean, so I went through regular periods prior, but I've been with Team forever.
Well, so then what I would like to do, if it's okay with you, would be to have an opportunity to look at the phone and examine some of the data on it. Really, we'd like to get to the phone that you had back then. If you think it's in a closet,
I don't know.
I guess.
Actually, I don't have to. My wife comes home. She'll know. If we have it, she'll know exactly where it's at.
Okay. All right. So...
Let's pause right there, and we will pick up in our next segment. So you guys who are in the chat and commenting and giving us your thoughts, and again, we're not doing this live, so this is, you can comment at any time. You can be watching this in 2030 and be commenting. What do you think so far? Does this seem to you like a guilty man that is trying to hide anything, or does it seem like a guy who's still just trying to give every detail of anything he can to help in the investigation? I don't see anyone that's trying to mislead anybody here. I see a person that's trying to figure out what some very specific minute details were about what he was using in his life 6 years prior. And if you ask yourself some of those very questions, I don't think I'd be answering all that differently than Richard Allen. Obviously, there's different things, but I'd be having to think, what was I using at that point in time? What was my device? I would have to go look at for any of the last handful of years and tell you what device I was using by going to my service provider. I mean, if you switch one around that time, like, these aren't crazy ways to react. This is not someone evading answering questions. I don't know. I don't know what they're seeing here. But there's another half hour to this. And that's what we're going to cover in our next video. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe on YouTube as well. If you're on the podcast, go check us out on YouTube so you can watch this video and you can comment. And if you're listening to us or watching us on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can take us anywhere you go and listen to these things and experience the podcast and all the content that we're giving you, you know, in your car when you're driving around. You don't always have to be in front of YouTube to get it all. So please do that. In our next video, we're going to listen to the last half hour where they really get into this with Richard Allen. So stick around. I'm Tony Bruschi. It's coming up next.
Want to stay on top of the latest true crime cases? Press subscribe now and never miss a breaking update from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, How to Best Kill Somebody with a Knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.